Well, what can a new pastor coming into a district say to a congregation that would cause them to like him right from the get-go? Now, I'm going to make a promise today. While I'm here, I'm going to please everybody. Make everybody happy. Some is going to be happy while I'm here. Some is going to be happy when I leave. Well, we've lived in the United States for 26 years. We came from Canada. We are not citizens of the United States. We are permanent resident aliens. I understand we have another Canadian in the congregation. We're always glad to meet some Canucks, eh? When we came here, I had no idea we were going to spend 26 years. I would finish my ministry. Actually, I came I came as a boys dean, a youth pastor at one of our academies in Tennessee. And I thought maybe I would spend that couple of years and go back to Canada. But there's something about the South that grows on you. And as they got to know me and I got to know them, I was praying secretly, Lord, don't send me back there. Let me stay here. And of course, for some reason or other, they heard about us in the Carolina Conference, and we came to this conference in 1985. We spent 12 years in North Carolina. Then we went to Kentucky, Tennessee, and we spent 12 years. And lo and behold, we're back here again. I enjoy ministry. One of my strengths is evangelism. My favorite thing about ministry is visitation. I hope you like me to come and visit, because I like that. And that's where I get to know you better. Now, I'm not sure how well I'm going to do with pastoring two churches, in the sense that you run down to one and preach a sermon and come back here and preach a sermon. I'm not sure I'm up to that, so I'm going to do my very best. Now, they don't have a PA system down there, and you've got to speak so loud for them to hear. Boy, it takes a whole lot out of a fellow. And I'm praying, do you have enough to give? Can you preach your sermon to this group up here today? Well, I want to tell you that I've been revived. As I listen to the willing ones, right? I'm sure that all of you are willing to participate, and we are going to enjoy growing our church, building a new church. We're going to enjoy worship. We're going to enjoy our fellowship. We're going to enjoy ministering together, having fun things together. Let me introduce you to my wife. Some of you, all of you may not have met her. This is my first wife. I've been married to her for, it'll be 41 years come June this year. We have two children.
I was a child, right?
We have two children and five grandchildren. So now that dates me. What else can I say? I'm glad to be here. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand with me and repeat after me, in fact. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I covenant with God to study it every day.
I covenant with God to study it every day.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be like Jesus.
I want to be like Jesus.
Let us pray. Father, what a thrill is ours to worship. We ask, Lord, as we attend this service this morning, that you would lift us from the mundane things of this old earth, and as we're lifted into your presence, that what we say and do, our songs, the words spoken, the prayers sent up, would be like a sweet fragrance in due season. We want to thank you that each one of our guardian angels is standing by our side in this worship service this morning. And I ask, Lord, that you'd be with me as I bring the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, and I want to look at verse 25 with you. Matthew chapter 14. I want to look at verse 25. Does this thing work? Yeah, and I can't get over there and it'll pick me up. Well, I got to stay right here. Okay. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I thought I was going to get a response from that. Now, let me read it to you again. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, I'll make it plain, walking on the water. Amen. When did you see someone walking on water before? That should excite you to know that some human is walking on water. Verse 24 opens with a human walking on, not in, not around, but walking on the water. My subject this morning is you too can walk on water. One of our folks down in North Augusta this morning says, oh, I had that experience. We were up in New York, but the water was frozen. That's not what I'm talking about. You see, Matthew is a book of hope, and it stretches our faith. And chapter 14 opens with the death of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a miracle baby. He was born of a woman who was too old to have a child. Amen. Straight and stalwart was John in an age when they knew no straightness. An age when they knew no consistency. John was a man who lived out there in nature. He stood solid for God in an age of faithlessness. Something like the days in which we live. The disciples, as you read the chapter in context, you see that the disciples were troubled that Jesus didn't do something to save John the Baptist. And this was undermined. In fact, several of Jesus' disciples were followers of John before they met Jesus. In fact, two of them was out there in the wilderness by the Jordan River when John was preaching to the multitude, and he sees Jesus coming, and he stops in the middle of a sermon, and he introduces them. He says, behold, look, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. The disciples knew of the deep relationship between Jesus and John, and it troubled them when he made no move to save him. Then the next part of the chapter deals with the feeding of the 5,000 besides women and children. So it's a possibility there could have been, 12, 15,000 people out there on that mountainside. You see their hearts. What God is saying to us, even though things haven't gone the way you expected, I am still the God of power. I am still the God of compassion and goodness. But the disciples were still troubled. Now I want you to use your sanctified imagination with me this morning. When you read your Bible, it's not a matter of just reading a verse and forgetting about it. You've got to be involved emotionally with that verse. And I want to tell you, some of these Bible stories will keep you on the edge of your seat. They are so exciting. There's nothing on television can match it. When did you see on television somebody walking on water? Have you ever seen anything like that? No? This is good stuff, folks. Jesus, now follow me. Use your imagination. Jesus administered to the multitude. He ministered to both their physical and their spiritual needs. It was evening time and he was tired. But something was happening during the day. The disciples were speaking, you know, going out and mingling with these people and talking with them. And the people began to realize, especially after feeding them, that this was the long-awaited Messiah. The disciples began to talk among themselves. They saw an opportunity to put Jesus on David's throne, and they were ready to take advantage of that enthusiastic crowd. Let him be our king. The Desire of Ages. Where's my book? The Desire of Ages, page 377. In fact, it would be good if you would go on this afternoon and get out this book. Read this story, A Night on the Lake. This is in the context. It says, all day their conviction had strengthened. The crowning act is assurance that the long-looked-for deliverer is among them. The hopes of the people rise higher and higher. This is he who will make Judah an earthly paradise, a land flowing with milk and honey. He can satisfy every desire. He can break the power of the hated Romans. He can deliver Judah and Jerusalem. He can heal soldiers who are wounded in battle. He can supply all armies with food. He can conquer the nation and give Israel the long-sought dominion. Now, I can understand why this multitude was excited. Can't you? Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew what the multitude was planning, but he understood that his kingdom was not of this world. So he bids his disciples, get in the boat and go to Capernaum, and I'll meet you on the morrow. You see, Jesus was troubled in his heart by what the multitude and his disciples were thinking. He was also troubled with the death of John the Baptist, his cousin. So he wanted to go and spend some time with his father. He wanted to pray and commune with him. Folks, I want to tell you something. Prayer soothes a troubled soul. Last night. Oh, by the way, let me interject something right here. As long as we lived in Kentucky, our water never froze up. This morning, I woke up at 6:30 and it was a little chilly in the RV, so I said, I'll just stay in bed for a few minutes. 7 o'clock, I got up, turned the water on, there's none. Now, I was in a quandary. I said, oh, well, what I'll do, I'll just boil some water and go out and pour it on the water line and get water, but I had no water to boil. Come about 7:45, I realized that I had a holding tank on the bottom, and I says, I wonder if there's any water in this, and I put on the switch, and sure enough, there's enough water there so we could get a shower and get started. Get started for the day. God is so good, isn't he? Absolutely, absolutely marvelous. His grace is so wonderful. This is back to my sermon. So he tells the disciples, he says, you get in the boat and I'll meet you later. Now I want you to try to enter into this situation emotionally. You see, worship is not just about coming and singing songs. We have to have an experience in worship, don't we? The disciples, they are troubled. Their mind is just filled with turmoil because Jesus, the man of power. And for once, they had the multitude who was willing to stand with them and with him and make him the long-awaited Messiah. You see, with their enthusiasm, they could bring about what Jesus understood his mission to be. Messiah. But listen, church. Listen, church, when there is trouble in your mind, it is matched by the trouble that is around us. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Or is he just a resource when you're in trouble? I would like to think that Jesus is Lord of your life. You see, when you are troubled, you don't have the same positive view of life. So the disciples, they departed in the boat. They were troubled that Jesus didn't take advantage of the opportunity to be placed on David's throne. They even doubted that he could be the Messiah. They had forgotten the blessings of the day. They had forgot that they, along with Jesus, tended to the needs of the multitude. Jesus healed the sick. They ministered to troubled hearts. Folks, it was only a short time that they were removed from Jesus. They're down there in the boat, and all these things were, all this trouble was in their mind, and they forgot. Negative thoughts began to bring them down. They had forgotten that mountaintop experience. Now they were down in the valley of discouragement. In fact, they were so caught up with their thoughts that they hadn't noticed overhead the clouds, the big old black clouds just billowing off the mountain out over the Sea of Galilee. You see, in that part of the country, the storms come up quickly. Wind, thunder, and lightning rain. They were caught in a storm in the middle of the lake. Or the sea. Well, it's really a lake. Suddenly, their thoughts and emotions are struggling with their thoughts and emotions. They're struggling with the elements, and the trouble was twice as bad because they didn't understand the reaction of their Savior. But let's go back to the Bible again, and I want to read to you verses 24 through 26. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and I don't know why they wrote it that way. When I think about a ship, I think about, you know, the Carnival Cruise Lines, a ship, something like that. But this boat was probably 20, 30 feet long was the max that they would have right there. It's just a small, open boat. Verse 24, it says, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Jesus went unto them walking on the water. Amen? Let's get with me now. Is this getting exciting? He's walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out in fear. I don't know about you. But when something happens in the wee hours of the morning, that loose shutter begins to bang on the side of the house. And in the wee hours of the morning, it seems to be twice as loud because the wind is blowing that hairy sound. And you imagine things that aren't there. Desire of Ages, page 381, it says, until the fourth watch of the night, they toiled all night with their oars. Then the weary men gave themselves up for lost. In storm and darkness, the sea had taught them their own helplessness, and they longed for the presence of their master. Amen. They had given up. Folks, this story wasn't written in the Bible just to make us feel good. It tells of our experience. Sometimes we get into trouble in the church or something happens and we give up. We don't go to church anymore. We give up on God. But that's not what He called us to do. We had to come closer to Him in times like that. The disciples think that they are lost at sea, and then they see something coming toward them walking under water, and they think it is a phantom that omens their destruction, and they cry out in fear. It is a ghost, they think. But wait, it's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus comes closer and he calls out to them and he says, "It is me. I'm having a early morning walk on the water." That's good. That's good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm having a early morning walk on the water. Look at verse 28. Now, you're following me. You're imagining this. You entered into it emotionally, right? Verse 28 says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." I think Peter was thinking Jesus was going to say, "Oh, Peter, I know all about your faith. You stay in the boat and I'll be there in a couple of minutes." But Jesus says to Peter in verse 29, and he said, "Come." You want to be like Peter this morning? You want to have that experience this morning? Folks, I want to tell you, if you come to Jesus, it can be yours.
Amen.
Whatever is robbing you of victory, Jesus can fix it. There may be some in our congregation who secretly has a problem with tobacco, but Jesus says, "Come." There may be some in this congregation, I don't know, it is a problem, it's becoming a problem in the church, that has a problem with alcohol. But Jesus says, "Come." Whatever is robbing you of victory, Jesus says, "Come to me." Immorality, stealing, lying, backbiting, gossip. Jesus says, "You want to have an experience with me? Come." But folks, let me tell you something. Don't ask God, don't ask Jesus for something if you're not ready. Do you know the most dangerous prayer that you could pray? "Thy will be done." Listen to me now. "Thy will be done." You turn it over to God and He will do what's best for you even if you don't understand what's happening. You know, church, when you do something that is contrary to human nature, at that moment, you are walking on water. I thought you would jump up and clap your hands for that. Folks, this is good stuff. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying to you. When you do something that is contrary to human nature, at that moment you are walking on water. What? Amen. Let's hear it. All of us together. Amen. There we are. We're going to work on this. The old Christian experience is a walk on water. How is it that the prostitute becomes a deaconess?
That's right.
How is it that the drug addict becomes an elder? How is it that the thief comes into the church and we make him a treasurer? How is it? Because, dear hearts, God energizes us. He gives us a new heart. He sends us a double portion of the Holy Spirit. We have new desires. The unnatural becomes the natural. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. All of us walking on water.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, here we get it now. Desire of Ages 382. Where's my book? Desire of Ages 382. When trouble, listen to this, when trouble comes upon us, how often we like Peter. We look upon the waves instead of keeping our eyes fixed upon the Savior. Our footsteps slide and the proud waters go over our souls. Jesus did not bid Peter to come to him that he should perish. He did not call us to follow him and then forsake us. Fear not, he says, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. For I, the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, I am thy Savior. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? This is good stuff. Now let's go back and look at Peter. There's a storm on the lake. The boat is half full of water, and in the boat the disciples are standing in the water, or they're sitting in the water. Now remember, they give up rowing. They thought it was the end. The sea was so boisterous, they thought surely they were going to die, and they gave up. And in my imagination, I can see them, you know, sitting in the boat, and maybe they're looking out over the gunwale. And they see someone or something coming towards them, walking on the water. And Peter, you know, loudmouth Peter. He stands up. He's so brave, and he says to Jesus, "Bid me to come." And Jesus says, "Come, Peter. Come on, not in, not around, not over, but come on. The water." Now, with sanctified imagination, I can see Peter stand up and, you know, he's brave now. All the rest of the disciples are cowering for fear of their life. And maybe the other disciples say, "Well, Peter, you really put your foot in your mouth this time, boy." And Peter gets up enough courage, and he puts his foot out over to see if it's going to hold him up. You know, remember, he's in the water, in the boat. Sure enough, solid. And Peter bounds over the side of the boat. Man, he is strutting, he is walking. And he is turning around, and he's giving high thumbs up to the other disciples. Now, can you imagine that? And do you know what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus.
Amen.
And at that time, a wave came between them. And Peter sinks. Now, what is really trying to say to us is the fact that, folks, in everyday life, we have troubles. We live in a world that's filled with sin and secularism and materialism. And oftentimes, we take our eyes off Jesus and we begin to focus on these things. When we focus on these things, we lose sight of Jesus. And if you lose sight of Jesus, you're in trouble. Folks, that is the truth. You lose sight of Jesus and you are in trouble. There's a wave between Peter and Jesus. He can't see him. And Peter sinks in the water. There's no time now for long prayers. He just says, "God, help me. Lord, help me." No time for long prayers. "Gracious and great God, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who flung the stars off your fingertips." No time for a prayer like that. He says, "Lord, help." You know what Jesus does? Oh, his marvelous grace, that same grace he extended to Peter, that same grace is available to us in 2007. Jesus didn't come over and say to Peter, "Hey, now that you're in trouble, you want me, you confess your sin." No, Jesus walks over the same wave that took Peter away from Jesus, that same wave slides Jesus right in alongside of him. And he reaches down and picks him up. You know, he didn't criticize him. He put his arm around him and hand in hand. You know, Jesus maintained his dignity. Arm in arm, they walked back to the boat. Oh, their hearts. Oh, their hearts. Let me make a point. God does not make us do anything. You are the ones who said, I want to be a Christian. It was you who said, I want to put sin behind me. He didn't make you. You volunteered. Now, he appealed. The Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, but you came of your own free will. Folks, it's up to us. We've got to step out of the boat. Nobody is going to drag you out. You see, some people never have the courage to step out and walk down the aisle as a public confession of the truth that's now in their hearts. But thank God all of you did, or you wouldn't be sitting there this morning. You see, it's a joy. It's a joy to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. He gives you the strength to do that which is impossible. One day in sin, next day we're out. It's a walk on water. Church, we cannot walk on water in our own strength. It's not natural to be righteous in our own strength. The Czar of Ages, my last little gem from page 490. This is good. The omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit is the defense of every contrite soul. Not one that is penitent and faith as claimed is protection while Christ permit to pass under the enemy's power. The Savior is by the side of his tempted and tried ones. With him there can be no such thing as failure, lost, impossibility, or defeat. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. When temptations and trials come, do not wait to adjust to all the difficulties, but look to Jesus, your helper. Wow. You too can have an experience like walking on water. It's something that I cannot explain. You can't explain it. But if you want to have that experience of victory in Christ, you've got to get out of the boat and you've got to start walking. Figuratively speaking, wherever you are in your life, get out of it. Walk with Jesus. You see, your problem is not walking underwater. Your problem is staying on top. To do that, we've got to keep our focus on Jesus. Folks, don't look at the people. Don't look at the elder, the pastor, the Sabbath school teacher. They didn't die for you. They have no heaven for you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's your Savior. He stays on top. Hang on to him. Have you heard the voice say, come? I want to start off my ministry right here as making an appeal to you this morning. Why not make that decision? Wherever you are in your relationship with Jesus, why don't you say to Jesus, I want to come further. I want victory in my life. I want that walking on the water experience every day. Amen. Once you come, if that is your desire, would you stand for me? Stand with me as I pray. Loving Father, what a thrill is ours to be a part of this remnant church. To be heaven bound. To be on the good ship Zion. But Lord, as we travel the highway of life, there's trials and tribulations that come. And many times we take these problems upon ourselves when we should turn them over to you. Folks, Father, we want to come to Jesus just as we are. You've seen every individual has recommitted their life this morning to going further, to come and walk with Jesus. I would ask for them a special blessing in the worthy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us close with hymn number 200.